The tycoons of social media have to stop pretending that they're friendly nerd gods building a better world and admit they're just tobacco farmers in t-shirts selling an addictive product to children. Because let's face it, checking your likes is the new smoking. Philip Morris just wanted your lungs. The App Store wants your soul.
There are 2 billion people, more than 2 billion people on Facebook. That's more than the number, it's about the number of notional followers of Christianity. People check their phones 150 times a day, the millennial sort of audience. And so if you think about it, from the moment you wake up, it's like you're jacked in to this environment. And thoughts start streaming into your head, designed by a few technology companies.
What we find is the typical person checks their phone every 15 minutes or less. And half of the time they check their phone, there's no alert, no notification. It's coming from inside their head telling them, gee, I haven't checked in Facebook in a while. I haven't checked on this Twitter feed for a while. I wonder if somebody commented on my Instagram post. That then generates cortisol, and it starts to make you anxious. And eventually your goal is to get rid of that anxiety, so you check in.
And apparently we feel stressed when we can't get our phone or when our battery is about to die. You probably know this feeling. And a research done in Australia among 3,000 people under the age of 30 found that 9 out of every 10 admit to feel this anxiety while having his battery dying.
Steve Jobs revolutionized the entire world with the iPhone, and he never let his children use it, because he did not want them dependent on technology.
Right now, an infant is getting their first laptop that's soft and squishy and makes noise. Right now, a child is being born online and being favorited and retweeted.
The hypergenerational segregation of our time is bizarre, unhealthy, and historically unprecedented. You've never seen the like of people sitting at a table in a restaurant not talking to each other because they're texting and using their Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and they are at the table and don't even know each other. In the house and can't even talk to each other. And the pressure that's on us to be like everybody else is so great that everybody tries to live like they're in a reality show.
As a culture, we don't have enough in common anymore. And that's because the internet, which was supposed to unite the world, has become too adept at serving us personalized content. Do you know what I saw on Yahoo's front page this morning? No, you don't, because mine isn't the same as yours. People get news feeds now that just spit back customized stories based on what we've clicked on in the past.
We are great consumers, but poor producers. We will buy what we can't afford with money that we don't have to impress people we don't even know, trying to be like everybody else. Get off of Facebook and put your face in a book.
Right now, a teenager is photoshopping their selfie because as a society, we're telling them they're not good enough. Right now, influencers encourage narcissism without knowing the breadth and depth of their impact on their audiences. Right now, 40,000 spectators are in an Olympic football arena watching a competitive esports competition, because this is this generation's football match.
There's always this narrative that technology is neutral and it's up to us to choose how we use it. This is just not true.
Technology is not neutral.
It's not neutral. They want you to use it in particular ways and for long periods of time, because that's how they make their money.
You don't realize it, but you are being programmed. It was unintentional, but now you got to decide how much you're willing to give up, how much of your intellectual independence. If you feed the beast, that beast will destroy you. If you push back on it, we have a chance to control it and rein it in. And it is a point in time where people need to hard break from some of these tools and the things that you rely on. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth. And it's not an American problem. This is not about Russian ads. This is a global problem.
I challenge everyone to try going 1 week without social media.
Don't let your phone and social media control you.
People have to understand, are you using your device or is your device using you? Can you put it down? Can you turn it off?
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it, sell it.
My biggest concern is the unfettered access to social media and cell phones, quite frankly, because there's a biology to these things that are as addictive as alcohol, nicotine, and gambling.
Right now, a family is out to dinner at a restaurant, not enjoying each other's company, but each staring into the screen of their choice, completely ignoring the family members. And this is mom, dad, and the children all doing the same thing while they continue to eat. They did it the entire meal. Right now, an infant is getting their first iPhone and learning to tap and swipe all while drooling on it. 92% of two-year-olds play video games, because that is what parents are putting in front of their precious children to keep them entertained and quiet.
This is your life now. No natural behavior. Everybody's wearing clothes they don't want to wear. Everybody's showing up and doing something they don't want to do. They have no connection to. That's the problem with our society. And then what's the reward for all this stuff? Go home, get a big TV. Go home, you're gonna get a shiny belt buckle. You're gonna get a nice purse. You're gonna wear shoes that you couldn't afford last week. You're gonna get that dream car. And every week we're chasing down this new object. And every week we're trying to fill this hole in this sad shadow of a life that we've been left with after work. That you work 8 to whatever the hours a day plus commuting. And then you're like this. And that's your life. That's your real life. All that other stuff is not your life anymore. All that other stuff is work. And most of us have committed to that. I know you've been there before, and I've been there before. And we understand that it's a trap because we got out of it. But for the people that are in it, a lot of times they don't even understand it's a trap. They just think it's a good job. They think they got dental. I'm doing really good. I got my own parking spot. It's got my name on it. And you're just a piece of a heartless, shitty machine that makes money.
All these kids that are graduating college with these $80,000 degrees that can't even work at Starbucks. All the people who put their money in the stock market and bought all this real estate, 2008, it all went away. Don't let anybody fool you into believing that there's a guarantee, that there's a safe way. The well-trodden path is the scariest way, in my opinion. Right? Because then you just spent the last 80 years of your life doing everything that everybody else told you to do, and you never really lived or produced anything unique. If everybody's going this way, go that way.
We now know that many of the major social media companies hire individuals called attention engineers, who borrow principles from Las Vegas casino gambling, among other places, to try to make these products as addictive as possible.
In South Korea, internet addiction is classified along with alcohol, cigarettes, and gambling as an addiction.
You know, it's about balance. It's not that they're inherently bad, and it's not that texting or social media is inherently bad, but it's when it gets out of balance. If somebody carries their phone wherever they go, like they physically feel anxiety if they put it down, when they are with their friends and have to have it up the entire time looking at the phone while they're with their friends, you know, when they wake up in the morning and check their phone before they say good morning to the person sleeping next to them, these are problems. This is out of balance.
I'm not knocking the phone. What I'm saying is we have to understand, we have to at least ask ourselves, around the world, you here in England, wherever you are, what is it doing to us?